everybody. Wow. My throat. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Good morning. Praise God. It is good to be in God's house with people that want to worship God together or connect with God or hear from God. You know how I could tell you're all from Wisconsin? Well, there's many ways. But we got like a, what was that? Do we even get an inch, half an inch, something like that? And you're all still here. I spent some time in Virginia once. It was in Fort Eustis, Virginia. I was on the air base, or the army base there. And they got like a quarter of an inch, shut the entire city down. And at first they used to make fun of them, and then I realized they don't have snow plows and piles of salt everywhere. And so it really was really difficult for them. But we, I mean, 3 or 4 inches, I'm still going into work, you know. I can't stay at home. So, praise God. It's great to have you all here this morning. If you're a guest, we want, you could be seated. You don't got to stand right away here. We got some announcements, a lot of announcements this morning. But if you're a guest, we'd love to connect with you. We'd love to get to know you more, give you a chance to get us a little bit more, to know us a little bit more. If you're worshiping in person or even if you're online, there's a Bitly link at the back of the kiosk. You should have gotten a little card. And we'd love to ask you a few questions. You might call it a survey, or it might just be a few questions. Get to know you, give you a chance to get to know us. But we're excited to have you here to worship with God with you this morning. And we truly wish that we know that God is here, and we hope that you find what you're looking for in God today, because he's here to give it to you. Giving options for those of you who feel inclined to give. There's 4 ways you can give. You can give online. You can give in person. You can send something in by mail. You can give via the mobile app. We have a mobile app for our church. Tells you a lot of things that are going on. It's just like Target and Jimmy John's and Chick-fil-A. You need an app now. No, not to come to church. I'm just joking. But to get some good information, you need an app. So I would recommend the app. Looking ahead for the rest of the month. So it's December real soon here. What are we? A couple days away? Right, Phil, how many days till Christmas? He's not even counting. See, this is what 2 kids will do to you. No. 29. Thank you. 29, you say 20. Okay. So I'm not going to start a trend here, but this is my advice. This is my holiday advice for today. Okay, maybe we'll have more as we go. Like, the sooner you get your stuff done for the holidays, the planning, the conversations, the gifts, whatever, I feel like the more time I have to actually go out and try to be whatever in my community. But if I put all my stuff off in the last 2 weeks of December before Christmas, I'm scrambling, then I'm not really out there looking to help people. I'm not out there looking to give. And so if you want to be a blessing this holiday season, get your stuff done and then give yourself some time. Book some time to help other people. The next Sunday, December 3rd, first announcement here is our men's ministry service. This is at 6 p.m. December 3rd. Men's ministry service. Contact Brother Jerry if you have any questions. I believe it's right here at the church. And then for our holiday schedule, because when the holidays land, sometimes it tweaks our service schedules a little bit. For those of you that don't know, we have service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. That starts with our adult Bible Sunday school. And then all the Sunday schools for the children are at 10. And then look at it. It's just after 11. We all come in here and we have our main service, right? But how that, and then we have service every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. as well. So we'd love to have you at those services. How that tweaks for the holidays, though, is on Sunday, December 17th, we're still going to be here at 10 a.m. There's no Sunday school, but instead we're going to have our Christmas program that is led by our Sunday school team. That's right. Yeah. Yes. We're excited. Woo. It's led by our Sunday school team. They've been practicing. They're still practicing. It's going to be really awesome. So if you have kids in it, I'm sure you're going to be here. But if you don't, you should be here, because we learn a lot through children and through God's word. And sometimes when you put it simply, it makes more sense for me. So I'll be here listening. But also, this is an opportunity to invite a loved one or a family member and say, hey, you know, little Jack's not speaking, but he's somebody in the play, right? Joseph. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. Right? So, hey, Nana, come out and see Jack. Come out and see Jack. Try not to make a disaster of this thing. Okay, but that's the 17th. Invite somebody. December 24th is Christmas Eve. There will still be a regularly scheduled 10 a.m. service. There will not be classes, so it'll be more of an abbreviated service, but a 10 a.m. service right here on Christmas Eve. And then on December 27th is a Wednesday. There will be no midweek service that week due to the holidays. And then Sunday, December 31st, we will continue again with our regularly scheduled services at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and Wednesdays at 7. So if there's cards out there, if I don't have one up here, but if there's cards out the front, it's a great time of year. Take a couple cards with you. Try to hand some out. Find somebody. Say, I'm going to commit to handing one of these out this week, right? Hand out a card. Invite somebody to church. People need Jesus. And Jesus is everywhere, but sometimes they don't see him out there, and there's a good opportunity here, a good environment. So invite somebody during this season. Invite them to the Christmas play on December 17th. Grab a few on your way out. Invite people. Now you can stand. We're here to worship God together. We're here to connect with God together. We're here maybe because we have a need. Maybe we're here because we're looking for an answer. But Jesus is here right now. His presence is in this place. And so if we can submit to him this morning, if we can we're gonna pray and then we're going to worship. But if you'll just surrender to him, surrender your thoughts and just say, you know, God, I'm going to focus on you this morning. I'm not going to focus on my things of the week or the things coming up next week or what I'm going to do this afternoon. I'm just going to focus on you this morning. God's going to meet you in this service. Let's pray that God would have his way in our hearts and our minds this service. God, thank you for being in this place. Thank you for your presence that is here. Lord, thank you for wanting to do great things in our lives, Father. God, Lord, I pray that you would have your way in this service, God. God, I'm going to focus on you today in worship. I'm going to think about you in worship, God. I'm going to focus on you in the bringing of the word. God, I pray that you would anoint our pastor. I pray that you would anoint his mouth and his mind as he brings forth your word. I pray that you would anoint, God, my ears and my heart to hear and receive, that it would land on good ground, God. Change me today, God. Have your way in every part of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Feel free to come down to the front or just stand in your pew, whatever you feel comfortable with this morning. You are holy.
We to walk in liberty. Hallelujah. We praise your name.
Everybody sing hallelujah.
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 We praise your name.
Everybody sing
hallelujah.
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 We praise your name. Up our hands for a moment. God, we praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the secret place of the Most High, it's where I abide. It's where I abide. And more and more to be by your side. It's where I hide. It's where I hide. I desire you in all I do. My soul thirsts for you, and I give my all to you forever.
I desire you
in all I do,
in all I do.
My
your name. Lord, I praise your holy name.
I praise your name.
Lord, I praise your name. Lord, I praise your name. Lord, I praise your holy name.
Worship him right now, God. We give you all our worship, God. We give you all our praise, God. God, we want to be in the secret place, Lord. We want to abide in the secret place of your presence, Jesus. God, and we want to surrender to you, God, and let you work from the inside out, God. Thank you, God. One of the things that I was talking to the praise team about this morning, as I was just sharing my personal thoughts about the songs we were singing, is it's hard for me when we sing this next song not to feel emotional about it. It says, "Let praises rise from the inside. May you delight in the inside of me. Because all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high." And I said, sometimes that takes us coming and laying ourselves down on the altar and saying, God, just burn up anything that doesn't belong there. I open my heart to you, God. I surrender to you, Lord. And I just want you to fill me with you, to delight in what's inside of me. And so as we sing this song, I just pray that you can make that your prayer as well. God, I surrender. I lay down every weight. I lay down every sin. I lay down every distraction. I lay down every situation, whatever it is. And for here in this moment, God, all I want is for you to be glorified. All I want is for you to be lifted high. Let praises rise from the inside. From the inside of me, may you delight in the inside, in the inside of me. Come fill my life from the inside. From the inside of me, set me on fire. you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. Let the praises rise from the inside, from the inside. May you delight,
you delight
in the inside,
in the inside,
in the inside,
in the inside of me. Come fill my life from the inside,
from the inside,
from the inside.
It's the only name. 'cause all I want
is for you.
'Cause all I want, Lord,
to be glorified, you to be lifted high. All I want is for you, for you to be glorified, you to be lifted high.
All I want, Lord, is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high.
God is wanting to speak to us this morning. So just let him speak. You could go ahead and be seated this morning. Some of you may question, say, what just happened here? Bible speaks, book of Corinthians, talks about tongues and interpretations where that God chooses to speak to his people. He has various ways. He can speak just a prophetic word, or he could use tongues and then have interpretation. And this is where we've talked about in the past, where God desires to use us in spiritual gifts. Some of us are a little afraid, maybe a little shy. And maybe you feel like God is calling you in one of those areas. You're not quite for sure. Just feel free to let me know, give me a call, and we'll talk with you. Because God desires to use his gifts. That's why he gave them to the church. He gave them not so one or two people would have them, but so that the whole congregation would have them. So it's so great to be here today. Thank you so very much, Sister Fiona, for leading us into worship. Such a very, very powerful presence of the Holy Ghost here this morning. We had an awesome Bible lesson. Brother Peter Sandin spoke. He's our family pastor, did a tremendous job, and thank you, Brother Peter. Also, if you're a guest of ours here today, it's just so great to have you here. We have with us Brother Lomax and his daughters, Kimber and Amber, and some folks from Word of Life. Many of you know the building that they were having service in. It was right over behind Hy-Vee, caught on fire a few weeks ago, and they've lost everything in the church. So they're going to be having service with us for a few weeks, and then we're going to be teaching them how to run our sound and overhead and all the everything else that it takes to run a service. So they may be shadowing us a little bit, and then they'll be hopefully starting and have their own service. We want them to continue the momentum that God has given to them and the favor that God has given to them. We want to be able to help them. And I'm not excited. I'm excited for the aftermath. All good things work together for good. And I don't understand it all, and I'm sure you don't, Brother Lomax, but God has this all in control, and we'll look back over this time in our lives, maybe within the next few months or the next few years, and we'll understand. But also, it's Brother Andy. He's a member of our congregation. Just wave your hand, Brother Andy. And he is going to be heading out this Tuesday, heading to Arizona for the winter. And it's been a while since we've had some snowbirds here that come and go. But he's going to be going to Phoenix, and he'll probably be running into Brother Jeffrey and Sister Bianca down there at the church. But if you want to say goodbye to him, and we'll see him in March. So I'm a little jealous because you're going to Phoenix, because it's probably sunny and 70 there today. But nevertheless, we wish you well, Brother Andy, and God would keep you in your travels and keep you safe over the winter so you don't come back here all sunburned and tanned and March. Oh, you know, it's interesting to me. I'm going to start a series that's going to kind of take us through up into Christmas. It's not necessarily a Christmas-related theme, but it's a life theme. The Old Testament, when we look at the Word of God, and if we look through Scripture, we just find, basically, if we could sum it up, that the Word of God is literally, it's the history of mankind, its relationship with God. And if we look through the book, if we start in the Old Testament, we don't get very far into the book. We get literally not even through the first, maybe into the second chapter, and man has what we would just term as a colossal breakdown or a colossal failure. Then we don't go very far, and we find out that there's just a handful of people on the earth, and we have our first murder. And it doesn't take long before we get into mid part of the book of Genesis, and we start to read about a man named Noah that steps onto the scene, and Noah was living in a very, very fallen world. The Bible says that it was everyone's minds and hearts were continually on evil, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We can continue on our journey, and we can go throughout the book of Genesis, and then we have Abraham that enters, and Isaac and Jacob, the patriarchs, you could call them, of the Jewish race, or patriarchs of the Old Testament. And we find not just stories of success, but we find stories of failures. The failures that humanity has had. Humanity was born in a perfect surrounding, a perfect garden, and it wasn't very long, and failure or sin entered into the picture. So what I want to do over the next few messages is I want to talk just some simple, simple things that we can do and apply to our lives on how we can turn our failures in life into success. This past week, I've talked to a few folks here at church that have called me and struggling with everything from marriage to drug addictions to how do I cook a perfect turkey to satisfy my in-laws. Well, some turkeys you just can't get perfect, I found out, and some in-laws, you can't make them happy. Remember, I'm an in-law too, so oh yeah, we're gonna leave that one alone. But we look at life isn't always perfect, and we look at failures, and we can look into most modern history. We can look at a lot of stories that we look at. How many of you came here today and drove a Ford automobile? Any folks here drive a Ford? We got a few proud Ford owners out there. I know the brother, you just got a brand new, Eric got it's probably you've had it for a little while, but he's got a nice green Bronco out there. And I've kind of driven by that and looked at that and kind of a little bit jealous every now and then, because it's a nice looking truck. But you look at Henry Ford. You look at Ford Motor Company now. But a lot of us don't know that before Ford Motor Company came along, he wasn't necessarily a real successful businessman, and he had gone bankrupt, and he was he just struggled with finances. We can look and go on, and we look at over our heads today, our light bulbs. Now these aren't anything like the first light bulb that was created or made by Thomas Edison, but if you read the story of Thomas Edison and you read about how many thousands of different materials that he tested before he finally found the right material to make a light bulb, and I looking at something a little more modern, how many of you have ever read or have heard of the Harry Potter series? Any of you? I don't know if you know much about J.K. Rowling, who is the author and the creator of the Harry Potter, but she had 12 different publishing companies reject her first Harry Potter series or first Harry Potter book that she put out. Now, if you look back, retrospect, I'm sure some of those 12 publishing companies would have thought, wow, we just passed on $1 billion profit. But you see, you have to understand this, church, that failures is not always final. Failure, if you look at it, failure is more an event that takes place in your life. It's not who you are. So it's an experience. I've experienced failures in life. You have experienced failures in life, but we have to understand that failure is never, ever final. Pastor Peter spoke this morning, and Sister Jeanette spoke on Wednesday evening about the voices in our heads at times that like to tell us this, tell us that, that you're a failure, you're a loser, you're never going to amount. But failure is never final, and if you have the God-given desire and direction, you can change your destiny. I ran across this a number of years ago, and I wish to share this over the next few services. And as we begin to close out this year, thinking about what next year brings, if this year has been rough on you, if 2023 is one of those years that you would like to just take and put in the rear view mirror, I want you to take time to jot down a few of these points we're going to cover this morning. And I want you to set yourself up for a changed lifestyle, a changed attitude, and a fresh new start on this next coming year. Hard to believe that Thanksgiving is already here and gone. It's going to be Christmas before we know it. 29 more days till Christmas. And then it's going to be another 7 days, and we're going to have New Year's. And we are going to be celebrating a New Year's in one way or another. But I want to just share some things and some simple points on how we can turn our failures into success. Point number one is we have to admit it. So if you're taking notes, we're going to start with the letter A today. Admit it when you mess up. Understand something. Nobody here is perfect. You don't have the perfect husband. He doesn't have the perfect wife. You don't have a perfect mom, and you don't have a perfect dad. You don't have a perfect brother, and you don't have a perfect sister. You don't have a perfect... Do you get the hint here? Do you get the pattern here? No one here is perfect. So when we make a mistake, when we mess up, if you want to take that failure and have that failure become a success, you have to take and own up to it. The best way to overcoming a failure is to face it, learn from it, and move on. Most of the time, we don't want to face it, we don't want to learn from it, and we want to get stuck in it. Admit it, Proverbs 28:13 in the Living Bible says, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. That's pretty blunt. If you refuse to admit your sin, your mistakes, you can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he's going to get another chance at this. He's going to find mercy. Our next point, you're going to notice that we're following a pattern here. Our next point starts with a B. So we have an A and we have a B. Now, don't worry about it. We're not going to go all the way to Z in the next 17 minutes. All right? So don't panic that, oh, no, this is going to be a long haul here. Number B, or letter B, boldly refuse to accept failure as final. Boldly refuse to accept failure as final, regardless of how badly you may have messed up. I've had people call me and say, Pastor, I just messed up. I messed up bad. Well, okay. Well, get over it. We've all messed up bad. We've all done really dumb stuff in our lives. So we have to boldly refuse to accept failure as final, regardless of how bad it may be. It was on May 29th, 1953, an Englishman, Sir Edmund Hillary, was the first man to climb Mount Everest. 29,000 feet he climbed. Things were much different in 1953 than they are today. As a result of this feat, he was knighted for his efforts. People remember his triumph. People remember the speeches that were given on conquering the highest peak in the world. But few people know that he had failed in his first attempt less than a year earlier. Later, he was asked to speak to an audience that recognized his first attempt at greatness. But to Sir Edmund Hillary, he saw himself as a failure. He walked up to the edge of the platform. He made a fist and he pointed at a picture of Mount Everest. And he claimed with a very loud voice, he said, Mount Everest, you beat me the first time, but I will beat you the next time, because you have grown all you're going to grow. I love this attitude, but I am still growing. Sometimes we have to look at the enemy, no matter what that enemy may be in your life today, and you have to look at the enemy and say, you may have beat me last time, but you're as bad as you're going to get, and I am still growing. I am still learning. When you and I can accept failure as a learning experience, did you know that failure is how we learn in life? I've said this before. How do we learn to ride a bike? By failing. I'm going to throw one out here. Some of us learn to drive a car. Yeah. If you and I can accept failure as a learning experience, we can keep growing. Our next point. Anybody want to guess what our next point begins with? All right, you're catching on. We need to concentrate on what we wish to accomplish. We live in a world that is really, really struggles with focusing. We have children now that there's all kinds of different letters and names and such that we call this syndrome. And I don't, I get them all mixed up. It's ADHD and ADD and DDGHD and some of you are just wanting to correct me so bad. That's all right. We're in letter C, so I'm trying to concentrate here. Correct starts with C also, by the way. Now, concentrate. There's so many things that are pulling at us. Have you ever heard the statement that someone say, well, you know, he's a jack of all trades, but a master of none? You ever heard that? I just was involved in a conversation the other day, and that phrase came up. But see, such an admission basically means that a person generally doesn't have the ability to concentrate on a single area of need until they master it. So you just kind of get good enough at something to get by, and then you move on to something else, and you just keep doing this. But so such an admission generally means that, you know what? We got some work to do. I haven't mastered any specific thing in my life. So we look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 in the Amplified. It says, till I come, devote yourself to public and private reading, to exhortation, preaching, and personal appeals, and to teaching and instilling doctrine. So here what we have is we have Paul writing to young Timothy, and he's saying, you know what? Spend some time devoting yourself to public and private reading and preaching and teaching. What he's telling young Timothy is take some time and grow yourself. Focus in on life. Concentrate on life. And take this time to grow. Take this time to learn. So many times as young people, I mean, I talked with some young people a few weeks ago, and we're talking about school and how that high school is 4 years, and it's just such a long, drawn-out drag of 4 years. But you only have 180 of those years. Each year, you're at school basically 180 days, or at least in my time, it was that. I don't know what it is now, but the rest of the time, it's vacations or it's weekends or you're off. So that even dwindles it down to where you're really only in school of those 2 years because you're off for 2 years. And they're talking about how hard it is. And they look so dejected, so bummed out. I'm like, just wait until you start working a job. And you don't have mom and dad. We got in a discussion about this over Thanksgiving. You don't have mom and dad buying your toilet paper for you, or your toothpaste, or your shoes and your socks. And you got to go out and get a job, and you got to buy that yourself, and your cell phone, you have to pay for it out of your own pocket. Just concentrate. Concentrate. Concentrate on what you want to accomplish. You're in school, you know what? Concentrate. Make the best of it. You get out of school, you go to college, concentrate. Make the best of it. You get out of college and you join the workforce. You get into life, into the nitty-gritty of life. Concentrate. Make the best of it. Focus. If the Word of God tells us to do something, we should concentrate on accomplishing what the Word is telling us to do. One more thing, it's important that we teach our children to love reading the Word of God. I want to just throw out a few quick things, five quick, powerful suggestions on getting your family involved in the Word of God at a young age. Teach them by example. There's always more caught than taught. If your children see you reading the Word and it's a priority in your day, they will more likely become a priority to them as well. So teach them by example. Number two, ask your children what they're thinking about. So many times we just read the word and we don't sit down and say, what do you think about this? This is why I love our family series that we're doing on Wednesday nights. And Brother Peter has done a phenomenal job this past year on that. But ask your children, what are you thinking about? We just read this. What are your thoughts on this? Do you have any questions on this? And listen. Keep your Bible reading in their interests. Read what's interesting to your children, not always what's interesting to you. And read the word together. Okay? This is important. Read the word together because it's always better as a family. God placed us as fathers, head of our households. Our families are going to do what we do. Read the word together. And then buy them their own Bible. Now, every time we have a baby dedication here, we have a couple of them a year, and we get children's Bibles for each family, for the boy or the little baby or little boy or girl that's getting dedicated, and we give them a children's Bible. But buy them their own Bible, and buy them one that they can understand as they read it. Now, understand something here, okay? I strongly recommend, now this is going to go against a lot of you, but we're talking about teaching our children to read. When we teach our children to read, we typically don't pick up something by Shakespeare or something by Einstein, theories of relativity and how he came about this, and use that as a beginning point to teach them to read. When I learned how to read, my favorite book was by P.D. Eastman. It was called Go, Dog, Go. That book rocked. In fact, I wrote a letter to P.D. Eastman telling him it was the best book ever written, and I love his book, and would he please autograph and send a picture? And you know the dude did. I got an autographed picture of P.D. Eastman and Go, Dog, Go. But you know, I didn't stay at Go, Dog, Go for my entire life. I learned. So I would recommend buy your children a children's Bible. Don't get hung up on 17th century poetic King James language. We're teaching our children principles of reading the word. We're not teaching them doctrine at night at this time, okay? So it's more important that they understand what they're reading. All right, that's just, and I got to throw this in. For the King James purists, it's been revised like 28 times. All right, so understand. There's no King James in Spanish or German or French. It's just an English translation, okay? So we're talking about reading, studying. The Amplified is a good for studying. I like the Amplified. I'm getting off on a tangent here. But as your children get older, encourage them to use a journal. If they start when they're younger and they learn how to take and put their thoughts down, it can help them as they go through life. So write down the things that they've learned, whatever sparked their interest in the scripture that we're reading. We can look at 1 Timothy 4:15 in the Message, and we're able to read. It says, cultivate these things. Immerse yourself in them. The people will see you mature right before your eyes. We want our children to grow, and we want our children to learn. We want them to grow and learn in a healthy, helpful environment. Letter D, decide in your heart. Decree and declare by the words of your mouth that your dreams, that your goals will come to pass despite any previous setbacks. Okay? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in the Amplified says, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. This is where we get tripped up sometimes. A lot of times we don't trust God. We try to figure it out on our own. But Proverbs is telling us to lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and your mind, and do not rely on your own insights and understandings, and in all your ways know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. We can also read in Proverbs 3:6, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. If we look into this and we study this out, according to Strong's Concordance, that kind of brings up a little bit of the past for some of us, doesn't it? When's the last time we've cracked open a Strong's Concordance? Now everything is online. But the Hebrew word, what we're looking for here, for acknowledge, means to know by experience, to perceive and see, to recognize, admit, knowledge, and confess. So we decree and declare our future successes by confession. Watch what you say. Watch what you say. Because words have power, and words affect me, and words affect you. That sticks and stones may break my bones, but words or names will never hurt me. That is such an untrue statement. More people get offended over words. More people get hurt over words. And our next point we're going to cover, which will be our last point for today, is elevate your thinking. Elevate your thinking. This is a big point for many of us because words and thoughts make up everything that we say and that we become. Did you realize that? I've had a lot of conversations about this lately. Everything we do begins with a word or with a thought. Everything we do. We get up in the morning, the first thing our mind is our mind kicks in, and we have words and we have thoughts. So when we look at Ezra 10:4, and the NLT says, get up, for this is your day, or your duty, to tell us how to proceed in setting things straight. We're behind you, so be strong and take action. Understand, we cannot focus on things that happened yesterday. We can't focus on things that happened 6 months or 3 years ago. Because if we continually focus on past mistakes, then we will always remain a victim. So instead, we have to elevate our thinking to concentrate on the good things in our lives and the things that are going right. We have to understand, we have to live that. We have to pound that into our heads. Whatsoever a man thinketh, so is he. Think about this for a minute. And I could talk on this for a long time, but we're going to close with this. So if our musicians can come. Think about this for a minute. This is one of these things this is a point to write down and remember. Sometimes we suffer more. We're talking about thinking. Sometimes we suffer more in our imaginations. Okay? Sometimes we suffer more in our imaginations than we do in our reality. How many times has somebody said something to you and you didn't quite understand, or maybe somebody looked at you across the building and you all of a sudden your imagination begins to run wild? We can stand. And we begin to think about, our mind begins to go. somebody doesn't respond to it. I get this a lot. Pastor, I sent you a text message. You didn't respond. Well, yeah, that was like 8 minutes ago. And I'm sorry, but I'm driving down the interstate. I'm in heavy traffic. I don't. I don't. I don't. I don't want to risk my life and those around me to answer your text message. But people get impatient. They didn't answer. So what did I do wrong? And all of a sudden your imaginations just begin to run wild. And we begin to suffer more in our imaginations than we do in reality. Albert Einstein once said that we cannot solve our problem with the same level of thinking that created them. This is where our world is stuck today, church. This is where so many Christians are stuck today. Because we try to solve our problems with the same minds that created the problems. We get ourselves into messes and we can't get ourselves out because we try to solve them with the same mind that got us into the mess. And we have to realize and understand that in order for us to take our failures and turn them into successes, we have to change how we think. And we have to change what we think about. And we have to get God into the equation. We have to get God into our lives. This year is going to be over. It's going to be over, and it's going to be done. This moments that we're living right here, that we're breathing, that we're thinking, in 20 minutes, we're all going to be heading out of here. We're all going to be going about our daily lives. And I want us to think about some of these things because we need to free our minds. We need to free our lives from the mistakes of the past, the mistakes of perhaps even yesterday, earlier this month, earlier this year. And as we go into and as we're looking at 2024, I am just expecting so much more out of God next year. Why? Because you know what? I'm trying to declutter some of this stuff in my life. I'm trying to change how I think about things and how I perceive things. Just because I think about something doesn't mean that's how it is. So as our worship team begins to sing, I just want to challenge us this morning here. Do you find yourself caught in this trap? This constant cycle of frustrations because you just don't think you're measuring up perhaps to the wife, the job, your finances. I just want to invite you to come down here to the front and say, Lord, I'm not going to live the rest of my life this way. I don't want to keep going the way that I'm going. There's got to be a better way, and there is a better way. We submit ourselves to Him. Say, Lord, I got to get rid of some of this junk, some of this stuff I'm struggling with. We have to turn it over and say, Lord, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never received the Holy Spirit this morning. I want to invite you to come down and we'll talk with you. We'll pray with you.
And I found joy.
Let's just lift our hands. Thank the Lord. Maybe it's
and favor.
Feel free. Bless you.
Right now is the moment. Today is the day. I've been changed. I have waited for this moment to come, and I won't let it pass me by. And I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. I won't go back, I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. I won't go back.
Your presence came.
back to the way you used to be before your presence came and changed me.
I won't go back.
I won't go back. I can't go back to the way you used to be before your presence came and changed me.
I won't go back. I won't.
I won't go back. I can't go back to the way you used to be before your presence came and changed me. I won't go back, I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. All my shame, guilt, sin, forgiven.
Again, church, thank you so very much if you're a guest of ours again for visiting with us today. So great to have the Word of Life, Brother Lomax and his family and congregation with us today. Make sure you greet them. So, A, admit you messed up. Got to admit it. Number B is we have to boldly refuse to accept the failures, no matter how bad we messed up. Number C is we want to concentrate on what we want to accomplish. Number D is decide in your heart, decree, and declare. And E is elevate your thinking. You can't solve the problems you have unless you change how you think, your process. God bless you. Thank you so very much for our worship. Team Sister Fiona, I believe you were our worship leader today. Terrific job. Thank you. God bless you all. Our Spanish service will be starting in about 15 minutes. So I want to greet a guest, shake hands with a friend. God bless you, and we will be back here on Wednesday evening.